And now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. All right, hold up your Bibles. For those of you who are new to New Beginnings, we're glad you're here. I ask people to hold up Bibles because I encourage you to bring your Bible to church, and it doesn't matter the form. It's heavy, isn't it? It doesn't matter the form. It can be in a tablet, a smartphone, or in real paper, like they make them. And so whatever it is, we just want you to bring it because we want you to follow along. And I want you to go home and take the things that I teach you and go study them for yourself, because I think it's important. That's part of discipleship, digging in for yourself. Here's what we say. We make a proclamation about the word every week. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I like doing that. I like the word. Big fan of the word. All right. Well, here we are 3 weeks into the new year. How many of you are still hanging on to those New Year's resolutions? How many of you are ashamed to say so? How many of you, how about this? I know I'm speaking to a spiritual group this morning. How many of you made spiritual resolutions? Lots of hands go up for that. Right here, Pastor, look. How many of you still sticking to those spiritual resolutions? All right, that's good, that's good. It's important, and I've been praying for the church as we finish the year and moving into the new year, praying that our church, the people of our church, would make spiritual resolutions. And we began to really just kind of focus our efforts as people on God and making our lives revolve around Him instead of Him revolve around us. Yeah. Right? That's what we try to do. We try to do things our way, and we get God to join us in what we want to do. That's not the way it works, right? We ask God to become part of our lives, and we try to revolve our life around Him. That's the proper way to do it. And so when we do that, you're making spiritual commitment. I'm talking this year about Help One is our theme for the year. And our church is doing ministry. The ministry is helping others. And we're just literally reaching out into our community, into our region, into our nation, and into our world, and doing ministry like we've never done before. Now, we've been doing ministry now for 12 years. But we're going to be very strategic this year and very focused this year about doing more ministry than we ever have in the past. And I hope that you'll join in and be a part of that. I believe that those are the kind of commitments that God loves. And when we make spiritual commitments to God and to His church, what we see is those are things that affect and impact our eternity. Not necessarily, we may not always see the results today or happening around us momentarily, but we'll know that in the future, those things will certainly follow us into eternity. I started a message series 3 weeks ago entitled The Least of These. And if you'll turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25, I want to read this to you. I will say this, at some point in the message, I'll dismiss people who are being baptized today. And if during this sermon you decide that you want to be baptized in that tank at the end of service, but you said, I'd like to, but I just didn't bring clothes, we now have disposable shorts and t-shirts that we'll give you. Ain't no excuses anymore. We will give you, and you can have them and take them home. And so we want you to make those spiritual commitments. And that's one of those commitments I believe that's important in following God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. Teaching is what He said. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Here Jesus is giving us a glimpse into living as a kingdom-minded citizen. The passage in Matthew 25 is a great reminder that God is concerned about our service to his people. I want you to know, God didn't call us and gift us and empower us to just serve ourselves. We are gifted so that we can be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing to other people. Amen. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we, now this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I want you to know, what's the advance? Well, the advance was long before you ever were, long before you were a blip on the radar screen of life, God had a plan and a purpose for your life with your name on it, and only you could fulfill it. Yes. Week number one of the series, I'm talking about us reaching out to the least of these, the people in our world, the people in our community who can't do anything for us. How do we know? Our first week was, how do I know who to serve? God, how do we know who to serve? Can you show me who to serve? And I told you that if we're going to know who to serve, we have to stay intimately connected to the heart of God. We have to stay connected to Jesus intimately. How do we do that? We do it through prayer. We do it through fasting. We do it through staying in the Word every day. And there must be a day, a part of your day, every day, where you get into the Word. There should be a part of your day every day where you're praying, where you're seeking the heart of God. God, show me what you have for my life. Show me what to do in my life. God, lead me today. Secondly, I said we have to make serving Jesus our priority. Now, when we begin to reach out and want to serve others, we can become, just as people, because I know people, I know because I am one, we can become a little judgmental. Well, God, they don't really deserve our service. They're not really worthy of my service. And so God says, no, no, when you serve them, you're serving me. So you don't look at them, you look at me. And you serve unto me, and I'll take care of the rest. But you don't worry about who it is you're serving. You just serve. And then finally, we have to serve whoever. Say whoever. Whoever God brings, we have to serve, because it's who God brings across our path, right? Last week, I told you, I answered the question, how do we know where to serve? We talked about who to serve. Last week, I said, how do we know where? God, where do I go and serve? Well, here's the framework that God gives us in the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there's your prescription for where to serve. You say, but Pastor Eddie, we don't live but near Jerusalem or Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth are far. He's talking about us serving locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. And we do that here at New Beginnings. We serve locally, we serve regionally, we serve nationally and internationally through missionaries. And don't forget, next week, my friend, Pastor Luis Padilla from Argentina, will be here at New Beginnings, and he will be preaching next week. It's going to be awesome, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about what's happening in Argentina and how we, New Beginnings, is a part of that. So I want you to come out and be a part of that. So, and then this week, I'm going to talk to you about not only so we know who to serve and where to serve, and today I'm going to talk about the simple phrase, how. How do we serve? Well, here it is, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Turn if you have your Bibles. And now, so earlier, a few minutes ago, it was freezing in here, and now it's hot. So where is Yvette? Turn the heater off. I'm dying in here. Yeah. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each of you, say each of you, should use, here's the word, whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, let them they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And then Paul wrote about spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, he says, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, use whatever gift you receive. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we should begin not to think of ourselves too important or too prominently, but instead rather think of ourselves with sober judgment. So don't think of yourself or some task within the church or some task that we're going to ask you to do in 2022 that those things are beneath me. I don't clean toilets. And I used to ask a question of every employee of the church, and I quit asking it because it just got old, but I used to ask every employee, if need be, will you clean the bathrooms at New Beginnings? I want you to know this. So back last year, I think it was around August, our church got a wave of COVID, and our cleaning crew were out sick. They're a family from church. They clean the church. They were out sick. And so they called, we can't clean the church. We can't find anybody to do it. So guess what? Every Friday, I think it was for about 8 weeks, 6 weeks. It was like quite a few weeks. I know because I scrubbed toilets for several weeks. We, as a staff, would come in on Fridays and clean. I want you to know the staff of New Beginnings ain't afraid to clean the toilet. We cannot get so full of ourselves that we think that something is beneath us. And that goes for every area of ministry. Paul goes on to say we need to learn to humble ourselves as Jesus humbled himself. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he stepped down from heaven, right? But he took the name that's above every name, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death. And the Bible says even death on a cross, a criminal's death. The king of the universe humbled himself. I want you to know, if the king would step out of heaven and humble himself and take on human flesh and become like you and I, then I think that you and I should do whatever the king asks us to do. Imagine this past Christmas with me, that somebody gives you a package and says, I want you to know this is a very expensive gift. This is a very extravagant gift. And when you open it, I don't want you to get too excited because it's not for you. Why are you giving it to me? Because I want you to give it to other people. I want you to bless other people. Imagine that you get that kind of gift. So one of two things can happen in your life when you get that kind of gift. We can, A, dishonor the giver and keep it for ourselves. Or we can do what the giver asks us to do. See, when we use the spiritual gifts that God has given us, we're honoring the giver. Do you want to honor the giver or dishonor the giver by keeping them for yourself? The word gift in the Greek language is the word charisma. And it's the endowment of religious qualification. In other words, it's the spiritual gifts that are in you that qualify you to serve, that qualify you to do whatever it is God's asked you to do. How many of you ever felt like you weren't qualified to serve God? And I'm not raising my hand just to show. I'm raising my hand to tell you, I don't feel qualified many times to serve God. You know why? Because it's not me doing this. This is the spiritual gift of God in me doing what he's called me to do. Amen? Spiritual gifts are our qualifier. The gift of God is what qualifies you to serve God by serving his people. In our natural state, you don't possess spiritual gifts because you don't yet have the Spirit as an unborn again person. That's not even a word, right? When we're born again, we are then given the Spirit of God to come and dwell in us. And along with him coming to make his residence in you is his gifting. Hey, look, and take this with you. There are approximately 30 gifts of the Spirit listed throughout the New Testament. Now, if you read the list, there are some you can be like, I don't want that. And there are some in there I want no part of, but there are a lot of other ones. I really want God to give me everything. How many of you ever pray the prayer, God, give me everything you got? I want everything you got for me. I don't want to leave earth one day knowing that I left something behind. I want every blessing, every gift, every calling, every encounter. I want everything that you've ever got for me. I want it. Just me and him. All right. Now, how many of you know your spiritual gifts? Anybody, you know your spiritual gifting? How many of you don't know your spiritual gifts? Come on, just raise your hand. Because like 8 hands went up that knew their spiritual gifts, and the rest of y'all like, I put my hand up. But here's the thing, babe, there's a lot of people in here that don't know. You want to know your spiritual gifts? See my wife after church. She's not the gift revealer, but she will point you to the class that you can take to show you where your spirit, what your spiritual gifts are. And that is called Get Empowered. And when in Get Empowered, you will leave there, hey, I know my gifting. And then you have a responsibility then to take the gifting and honor the giver or keep it for yourself. It's next week during the 10 o'clock service. So here's the beauty of that. You come to 8:30 service. You hear me or Pastor Luis, you're blessed. And then you hang around for 10 o'clock and you go get empowered. And at Get Empowered, you're going to walk out of there spiritual gifted up, ready to roll, ready to serve God. Now, today, I'm going to get real practical when it comes to how. God, show us how to serve you. How do we serve the least of these? And here's the thing. If we're going to serve the least of these, listen to me, we're going to have to make a sacrifice. How many of you know serving God requires sacrifice? Anybody willing to sacrifice anything today? If it's the person next to you, don't point. Just kidding. The first thing, listen to me, the first thing that you're going to have to sacrifice if you want to serve God is you're going to have to make a sacrifice of your time. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, here it is, as faithful stewards. The word steward just means manager. I want you to know that, you know, that time is a gift. Time is a gift. And how you spend it will determine what you do with it. Now, anybody know who Stetson Bennett IV is? All right, let me just tell you, for you non-sports fans, Stetson Bennett IV was the quarterback of the Georgia Bulldogs, national championship football team for you Georgia Bulldog fans in the house. All right. Ain't nobody shouting. All right, so I guess they were only at the first service. I read an article about Stetson Bennett IV after he won the national championship. When he was entering his fifth year as a senior in college, and he was about to be the starting quarterback of the football team, he said, I had to make some changes in my life. He goes, and I noticed that I spent a great deal of time on my smartphone wasting time. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever looked at the analytics on your smartphone to see how much time you're wasting? And do you go, ooh, and I am wasting a whole lot of time playing that game or scrolling through the pages of Facebook. And I'm caring about what you ate for lunch or you know, what you're doing, you know, and looking at everybody's top 10 reel, right? And we have to be careful because we can get so wrapped up in there, we can literally spend hours of our precious time wasting it. Well, Stetson Bennett went to the AT&T store in his town, and he got rid of his smartphone for a flip phone. That's a commitment. He said, I'm not just saying I'm going to start changing the way I live. I'm going to do it by my actions. I want you to know, if we're going to serve God, we're going to have to sacrifice some time. The greatest hindrance to serving God in 2022 is going to be a lack of time. I hear it all the time. I really do. I didn't mean to say that. But hey, we'd love for you to serve. Pastor, I would love to. I just don't have the time. We're so busy. Anybody in here busy? So it's the word that I despise the greatest in the English language is the word busy. We use it as a crutch, we use it as a tool, and we use it as an excuse. You know what they say? For everything that you want to do in life, you will make the time. But for everything you don't want to do, you will make an excuse. And so we get to choose how we're going to spend our time. Be like Stetson Bennett, a national champion. Sacrifice some time. The second thing that we're going to have to sacrifice if we want to serve God and we want to serve the least of these is we're going to have to make a sacrifice of our talents. Anybody in here feel like they're talented? Now, I got to tell you. So I love music. I've always loved music. I love to sing. I'm a horrible dancer, so I'm not really a good dancer. Anyway, I love to sing. I love music of all kinds. I got to be honest, guys, I envy these guys. Like, in a holy kind of way. I love what they do, and sometimes I get amazed watching. It's like, especially like Timmy, right, when he's playing those drums. And he's got one hand doing this and another one doing this and a foot over here and a foot. I can't walk and chew gum. Like, so the idea, so I'm going to tell you how goofy I am. I took guitar lessons. Dario, you're going to love this. I took guitar lessons, and the guy's teaching me how to strum, and he's teaching me the chords. I can do the chords, all of them. I can strum, just not together. One or the other. Well, you know what? Guitar playing don't work that way. So you know what? I had to put the guitar down. I bought a guitar. Guitars, to me, are like hot rod cars. They're right? They're cool. And they're beautiful. And I had this beautiful blue, like, metal flake guitar. It was so cool. I gave it to my brother-in-law. Bless you. He's like, you're giving this to me? I'm like, yeah, because it's useless in my house, bro. It's just going to be a dust collector, you know? We have different gifts according to Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Listen, Paul's saying here that we each have a grace gift. We each have the charisma, the ability to serve God using the gifts that God's given us. We have to first find the time, and then we have to give back to him the talent that he gave. Amen. Imagine with me this scenario. One of your friends calls you and says, hey, I ordered you a very special gift, and it's coming on a delivery, and it'll be at your house tomorrow at noon. Be there, because they want you to sign for it. And the delivery driver, I won't say what company, he's coming up the walkway, he's got your gift in his hand, you fling the door open, you run out, you hug him. thank you so much for the, he's like, bro, I'm just the delivery guy. Just, you got to thank the person gave it to you. They're in another state. I know, but thank you so much. Now imagine this. What happens is we can take our spiritual gifts, and when people come up to us, oh, thank you. That message, Pastor, blessed me so much today. Thank you so much. Hey, listen, this ain't about me. This is about the gift giver, right? And so don't thank me for the gift he gave you. Just thank me for using the gift that I've been given to bless you. So we can highlight the gift deliverer, or we can highlight the gift giver. We got to always highlight the gift giver. Amen? And then lastly, besides our time and our talents, we have to sacrifice our treasure. Now, before you turn me off, I want you to listen. I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about in every area of your life, both in your time and in your talent, but also in your finances as well. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should have decided in your heart what to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves, here's the word, a cheerful giver. You ever thought of doing something extravagant for somebody else and then talked yourself out of it? Nobody raising their hand on that one. I'm not expecting you to. But I know we all have at times. You know, God, you feel like God's like whispering to you to do something for someone, bless somebody, and you're going to find every justification and reason why you should not. And ultimately walk away from the blessing of God over your life for doing. I was having lunch with a gentleman on Wednesday. And the time for the bill to come, and I reached in my pocket. He's like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm like, no, let me, I invited you. Let me pay. He's, as long as you're with me, you're not paying. That happens all the time. My friends take us to lunch, take us to dinner, whatever. They go, oh, no, don't bother. I've tried stealing the check. And we get in a wrestling match, me and Tony get in a wrestling match. He's like, I will take it from you, but I am stronger. I proved that yesterday. I want you to know, I've learned something through the years of serving God. You know that generosity begets generosity? The Bible tells us in Isaiah, and this isn't even part of my notes, that when we pour out, freely pour out as God has poured into us, you know what happens? God pours back in. And he refills what we pour out. And when we freely give as he's freely given, we always have what we need. And in our family, guys, we have witnessed this firsthand, right? We have witnessed generosity in our own family. And God has provided over and above. And I want you to know, if you are lacking in some area of your life, just begin to give out of it. If you're lacking in time, start to give some away. If you're lacking in your talents being used for God's glory, just begin to use them for God's glory. Watch what happens. God will give you more talent. I'm going to tell you a story. So is Austin still here? Austin was a little girl with the beanie on right over here singing. Several years ago, Austin's been here since, I've known Austin since he was 4 years old. And Austin came to Kevin and Carla and they were like, I want to sing. You know, and she just could sing okay. You know what started to happen? Her just singing okay, she began to give God the okay.
That's right.
Dude, that girl can wail now. I want you to know, whatever it is you have, give it to God.
That's right.
Say, God, it's your talent, and I'm giving it to you, and I want you to use it. I want to use it for your glory. And when you do that, God will sharpen the talent.
That's right.
You know, stingy people often find themselves on the short end of the stick. There's a term that the world uses: what goes around comes around. Anybody ever heard that? Of course you did. Now, they stole that from Jesus. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously will also reap generously. What goes around comes around, right? Say it however you want. It's God's law at work in the world. I don't know about you, but I know my family and I have seen and experienced the goodness of God with this thing called generosity. You know, there's an old saying, baptismal people, go get dressed. Sorry. I got so wrapped up into doing what I'm doing, I forgot all about it. Just pick a bathroom and get dressed and then meet us right up here in the front. Whether we're giving God our time, our talents, or our treasure, we'll always find more of what we gave because we're being good stewards with what we've been given. We recognize that what we have, whether it be in the form of our time or our talents or our treasure, is from God. And I want you to know, it is ultimately for God. It's not for you. I know the check has your name on it. I know the account has your name on it. I know the talent has been assigned to you and you're good at it and everybody knows you for it. And that 24 hours in a day, you know, like Bon Jovi said, it's my life. Yeah, no, it ain't. It's your life, supposed to be lived for him and through him, right? And when you give it back to him, he gives you more. I find that I have time. I try not to use the word busy, because busy is a crutch and busy is a good excuse. Whatever we've been given, time, talents, and treasure, let's use it to bless God and to bless his people. Hopefully you've learned in this series, we know who to serve, whoever God brings, and we do it unto Jesus, right? We know where to serve, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and we know how. Sacrificing our time, sacrificing our talent, and sacrificing our treasure. Would you stand with me? Now today, we're going to do something a little different. We are going to have baptism after I finish praying, but I don't want to miss this moment. And I want to invite you, if that's you, hey, you know, Pastor Ed, I just needed a reminder today of an adjustment of thinking, an adjustment of my heart for this new year. And in that adjustment, I want to do things differently. I want to give God more of my time. I want to give God my talent, the talent that he gave me. And I want to give back to him the treasure that he's put me in charge of and allow me to manage. And if you find yourself in one of those areas or in all those areas, I want you to come and join me here saying, I'm ready, God, to just give it all to you and to bless you with what I've been given. And I'm going to pray for us. And when I finish today, when our prayer people will not be in front of the curtains yet, because we're going to do baptism. I'm going to ask you to go back to your seats. We're going to do baptism. And after baptism, if you need prayer, our prayer people will be. No, you can come. No, you can come. This is just for something specific. If you need something specifically prayed for at the end of the service, we'll have some prayer people in front of the curtains on both sides to pray for you and with you. I want you to know, I getting ready to pray at first service for the altar call, and the Lord just touched me, and the fact that, you know, when God's people get on fire for God, I want you to know something powerful is about to happen. And what I see and have been witnessing here at New Beginnings, especially these last several weeks, is the heart of people that want to see God move in their lives and ultimately through their lives to touch the world around them. And God, you know, guys, I want you to get this. The disciples were 12 guys that Jesus put his spirit upon and said, go out into all the world. And I believe God has put that same calling and mandate upon this church and upon the people of New Beginnings. And I believe that we're going to make such a great impact on this community that I'm speaking the word revival is going to begin to happen here. So if you're ready for God to use you, would you just raise your hands? Jesus, we come before you, Father, the name that's above every name. The word says that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth will bow. Whatever it is that is standing in front of us must bow its head and bow its knee to Jesus. And God, today, whatever these folks are facing, whatever breakthrough they're waiting for, God, I pray right now for an empowerment by your Spirit to go and do exactly what you've called us to do. And I pray, God, for spiritual success. I pray for spiritual success like you told Joshua, don't turn to the right nor to the left, but do everything that I've required of you to do, and you'll be successful wherever you go. And I pray we begin to see the success in the souls that we begin to win one at a time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.